Again, today will be a short shiur because of the Sukkah and the Beis Medrash. So again, everybody's strongly encouraged and urged to attend, but that just will cut off a little bit of our shiur, which it was supposed to be a two-week shiur anyway, two-installment shiur. So we'll continue next week. Tfilas Kelim. It's one of the most important topics that we don't always learn about in our shiurim, but it's something that is l'maisa. It's l'maisa, even if you don't mess up. You know, a lot of Hilchas Kashrus are out only if you mess up. But Tfilas Kelim is even if you don't mess up, you have to buy Kelim. You get presents when one is engaged. So we'll do this in our next installment of Yoredeya topics. Tfilas Kelim. So again, just to start with a story, which again, I always, whenever I talk about this, I like to mention the story because it made a big impression on me. 23 years ago, my first year teaching in YU, I was giving a shiur and I was talking about tefillah. It came up like Derech Agav, Tefillas Kelim. And then it was a Thursday. And then that Sunday, a guy comes into shiur, a guy from a regular family, one regular neighborhood, like all of our families. They come and like, Rabbi, you're not going to guess where I was on Friday. I'm like, where were you on Friday? So I came home on Thursday night. I told my mother all about Tefillas Kelim and I learned about it. Then she's like, I never heard of it before. She called up her rabbi. She said, is this one of the like newfangled chumras of the young rabbis that are starting this? He's like, no, it's a din. They were married. This boy in my shiur was, I don't know, 18, 19, was after Israel. And they must have been married 23, 24 years. And, you know, this mother asked the rabbi. So he might have just said, okay, forget it. Well, the new stuff that we buy now, you know, we'll tell them. No, they took your entire kitchen, every metal, glass, and as we'll talk about, everything in the kitchen, there were hours at the Kelim Mikvah on Friday. And I was very inspired. It's like, this is someone who, you know, learned something and took it to heart and shaped their life, kind of like the gambling discussion we had last week or whenever that was. That's something you learn something and you shape your life to what the Torah says and not just think about what I want to do. Okay, so let's get to the background, at least today, and some rules and regulations, and then we'll get into more details next week. So the Pasuk tells us in the end of Sefer Bamidbar that Bnei Yisrael took the spoils of Midian when they when they conquered them on the way into Eretz Yisrael. So how do they kosher all these spoils, all these vessels that they got from Midian that were full of tarfus, full of not kosher? So the Pasuk says, Zov, Kesef, Nochoches, Barzel, Bedil, Afares. Interesting, six different metals, right? Chazal say that those are the only metals ever that would ever be, you know, invented, discovered. So which type of human author would be able to write that? Anything else would be included. What about aluminum? It's not on the list. So it must be included in something else, unless that's not a real metal. But either way, the Pasuk says, Kol asher yavo ba'esh, tavir ba'esh, whatever went in fire has to be koshered in fire. Vitaher. Vitaher. That extra word is going to be the key. The as we'll see. The Mishnah tells us at the end of the Masechta Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, I've mentioned before, is a very underrated Masechta. It's great. It has everything. It has Agadata, it has Halacha, it has Lumdis. There's a lot there, and we never learn it in Yeshiva. So you ever get a chance to learn Masechta Avodah Zarah? Everyone is a great one, but that's something that's not unknown. The only Masechta in Shachta starts off with Agadata. Also, says the Mishnah, Halokeya Kli Tashmish Menov Dekachavim. If you buy a Kli from a guy, so Eshadar Kol Hatbil Yatbil. Right, what does that mean? You have to be Tovel it. You have to be Tovel. Tovel has nothing to do with Kashrus. Right? In a cold mikvahs have nothing to do with Kashrus. So what is this about? As we'll see. Tana, Vakulan Srikan Tvila Barbam Sa. Not only Eshadar Kol Hatbil, but all the Kalim that you're getting from the guy has to be Tovel in a mikvah of 40 Sa. We know immediately, how do you know this? Amarava Damar Ka, because the Pasuk we saw in source number one, Kol Avashar Yavo Beish Tavir Beish Vit Taher. That word is an extra word to teach us that there's something called tevilas kelim, purifying the kelim. This, again, has nothing to do with treif and not kosher. If there is a new kli that's made, that a non-Jew made for you, that would also require tevila. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simen Kufaf in Yeredeya, Hakone Me'ovid Kochavim. If I buy a kli from Me'ovid Kochavim, Kli Se'uda, a food kli. We're going to have to talk about what that means, what's included. If you buy a table from a guy, you don't have to tovel it. But what is a clay seuda? In the olden days, like tables got tummy. You just put tummies in the mik in tumantara and the tables in the mikvah too. But now we're talking, just talking about clay seuda. The mitzvah to be tovel clay seuda. Mateches, zechuches. We'll get to different materials. Aval vishem chadash, even though they're new. Tzorchlat bilam b'mikvah. Oh, mayanchal Abraham Sof, to put them in the mikvah. So what is this about? This is about hosafas kedusha. This is about adding kedusha. Again, not to be confused with hagalas kelim. Hagalas kelim is kashering kelim. Somebody traped up their kli, and that was easy here too. Kashering, getting a kelim from Midian. But there's a big difference between adding kedusha. That's what we're doing here. Like a ger. A ger goes into a mikvah when he becomes Jewish. So kelim that were made by a non-Jew have to be toveled in a mikvah in order to add kedusha to it. How do you know the difference whether something is adding kedusha, hosafa, or removing? So one easy litmus test is bracha. Bracha. We don't make a bracha when we kasher something because that's removing something negative. We make a bracha when we tovel kelim. Right? That is adding something positive. Right? That's the answer also to a trivia question, which we'll get to from next week, and that is the only bracha that changes nusach based on quantity. The only bracha, right? Ner Chanukah, Ner Shabbat doesn't change. The only bracha that changes nusach based on quantity, that is tefillas kelim. You have to ask that in 6 months when you don't remember there was a shir about it. But that is a bracha. You make a bracha on it. Similar, my when you wash your hands before you eat, make a bracha on it. Tefillas Yadayim, you're being mosif kedusha. It's not just to remove any tumah, but you're being mosif kedusha before you eat. My machronim is no bracha. Right? My machronim is removing something negative. Right? Whether melech sodomis, whatever it is. So that's just a way to know the difference. All right, Rabbi Forrest writes in Pisgei Halacha, that's his Hebrew Sefer on Kashrus, Tzivanu Hashem Yisbarach, Shagam HaKelim Shabayim Mechinim Et HaOchel, Tzrichim Kedusha Yisera. The Kelim that we use, not just does our food have to be Kadosh, the Kelim that we use to make the food has to be Kadosh. So much of Judaism is food. And Halacha is relating to food. Not only because whenever we have a Yontif that plays a major part, but Bris Milah, have a Suda. Pidyon HaBen, have a Suda. Shabbos, Yontif, so much. And whenever we have, the only Bracha Daraisa that we have is also related to food. Right, maybe Brechas HaTorah too, but Brechas HaMazon for sure. There's a whole Sefer, Rabbeinu Bachai has a whole Sefer, Shulchan Shel Arba, which is all about food. And the Halachas that have to relate to it. He says we have spent so much time at the table that we wrote a whole Sefer about what things that we can learn at the table, all related to the Suda. But that's the mitzvah. There is a major machlokas whether this is a mitzvah daraisa or a mitzvah derabanan. Right? Most assume that it's a derabanan. Most assume it's a derabanan, even though it's based on a pasuk. We assume that's an asmachta. But we'll see if there are any nafkaminas to that. So this is the mitzvah daraisa, the mitzvah of tevilas kelim. Says the Ramah, turning over now. Says the Ramah in source number 5, Simen Kufchaf. Not only is there a mitzvah of Tevilas Kelim, there is an isser to use a kli that is not Tovelt. That is not Tovelt. I was just asked this last week. Somebody was going to their friend's house, and they said that their Kelim aren't Tovelt. I said, do you know that for sure? He said, yeah. If you don't have to ask. You don't have to ask. If somebody is a Shomer Shabbos, you know, family, and maybe they don't know, maybe they do know. So there's no chiyuv to ask. But if somebody knows that the kelim are not tovel, then there's a problem there. And the Ramah says, Asur l'shtamesh b'lutzar chesud. It's not just a mitzvah l'chachila. You're not allowed to use an untovel kli. Afilu derech harai below tefila. Even derech harai, not in kfiyas, below tefila. Right? This is one of a halachic misconception also. You could use it once without toveling it. Not true. You can't even use it once without toveling it. Can't even use it once. Probably where did that misconception come from? That you don't have to tovel disposable items. So maybe things that you only use once, and then you could, you don't have to tovel it. So from there came that any kli that you use once, that's not true. Right? You can't even use a kli once, you know, right when you get it the first time. I can tovel it once, and then, no, you can't. Right? Not even once. It can be used, says the Ramah. And the other way, even if a kli was used 1,000 times, that does not remove the chiyuv of tefillah for it. Right? That's like this woman in the story. Right? That does not remove it. Says the Chachmas Adam, Im nishtamesh b'kli kodem shetavlu, lo nasar hamachal, right, as we'll get to that, the food is not nasar. Tfilas kelim does not aser the food. If something was cooked in a non-tova pot, you weren't allowed to do that. But once it's done, it does not aser the food. But even if you used it, cooked in it 100 times, one still has to tovel it. The chiyuv never disappears, even though the food is not nasar. Right, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says also in Surah 7, V'imavar v'ishtamish b'kli b'lo tefila, lo nasa mash n'ishtamish b'o yitzvelenu od, like the Chachma Zadim said, a couple generations after the Rama. If someone's Zalman has a chiddush, most assume that the isser of using non-tovot kelim is a derabanan, right? It can't be more than the din itself. If someone's Zalman says that it could be im yachol lahatbil, in Surah number 8, there's a whole sefer tefilas kelim, kil chasa. So the sefer tefilas kelim, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Im yachol lahatbil umishtamish bekli below lahatbilo, hari over alasei. Dimotim hachi yosei shah meatorei afam in chovas tefila. Diamtanat shiyamo, so yisav ez banav achrov lahatbil kelav achramoso. He suggests it's pretty serious. Might be even be a daraisa to use it without tefila. What happens sometimes? This has happened in our house. Maybe it's happened in your house, maybe not. You have to try to be careful. What happens if there's a mix-up? You buy new glasses, and you put them on the side to put them in the getting ready to go to the mikveh area in the house. And then somehow, I don't know, there's a cleaning lady, there's somebody that sees glasses, oh, I know where these go. And then all of a sudden, all the glasses are the same, in the same place. Is there bittul by kalim? Right, if there's a kli that you know, 90% of your kli, you only have three new glasses. Come on, there's bittul b'shishin, there's bittul, so would you say that there is bittul there? Well, why wouldn't there be bittul?
It doesn't add something to it.
So what, but there's an isser to use this kli without tobling it. What? I'm saying so, if somebody has a lot of glasses. Each glass you take out, is it kavua? No, it's kavua parish. But there's another element. There's something called a davar sheish lamatirin. Right? A davar sheish lamatirin comes up in a number of places. It's not batel. There are certain halachas, there are certain dinim, midrabanan, chazal say, are not batel. Davar chashuv, and a birya, and so davar sheish lamatirin, something that will become mutter in the future, is not batel. Rashi says at the beginning of Beitza, because you might as well wait. That's davar sheish lamatirin. So the question is this is davar sheish lamatirin? Because you can take him to the mikvah. Is this the call of the Rishish Matirin? Says the Shulchan Aruch, source number 9. Kli shenasar b'lias iser, shenasar b'cheirim v'eino nikar, a kli that got forbidden with a b'lias iser, bata baro v'ein donin oso k'dav Rishish Matirin. A kli, this is talking about an iser, a kli that had a b'lias iser that got mixed up, is batel. Caleb and not a dav Rishish Matirin. Why? L'fisha zorach lahotzi alav hotzos lahag'ilo. Because it cost a lot of money to kasher. Says the Rama. So if it's mutter by itself, fine. But here it's mutter by spending money. So that's not called a davar sheish lamatirin, says the Shulchan Aruch. Is it such a davar sheish lamatirin? Is it such a big expense to go to the mikveh? It's an expense of time, but it's not an expense of money. So what would you say? So the Har Tzvi, or Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, in source number 10, has a tshuva about this, where they got mixed up. And if, let's say, you are going to tovel it, you have to make a bracha? Is that just a chumrah? Is that just a chumrah? So if it's a chumrah, or if it's me'ikar adin. So he talks about this. Okay, what if you don't have to tovel them because it was batel? But what if I tovel all of them? Can I make a bracha? Because if it was batel, then it's batel. And then there's no untoveled kli in here. What? Okay, you have it all in front of you. You have it all in front of you. And it's all at Tzarech, because you're trying to find the right one. So he talks about this. He says, L'chore ein bazet din bitl mishav David Ev Shesh Matirin. And even though the Mechaber said what we just saw, that it's not, the Shach says, the Ma'ariv, the Rishonim that argue, for a hefsin muat, you know, it's not a problem. And therefore, it seems like if it's easy, just take them. If it's easy. If it's a big pain, then maybe the Shulchan rely on the Shulchan Aruch. What? Ah, so he continues on line 18. Ulam im matvos kala kelim yachad lechora yesh lo mishazorach lavarech ala tefila. Shrek shematvilim kulam babas achas barushu matvil kliya sarach tefila makayim mitzvah zaseh. But he says, if bittul took place, then there is no mitzvah. So he said, you should not say a bracha. So if it's a big pain, so it seems like you do not have to. Do not have to take it. So just a couple of glasses. But if it's a big even time expense, so then one should not say a bracha, though, even if you're going to total all of them, because bittul could have taken place. This only applies, the din of tilas kelim only applies if I buy something from a non-Jew. If I can buy something that he used, then I have to do kashering and tefillah. But if it's new. If it's never used, which is you buy a new kli in the store, so then you have to be tovelin. If I borrow a kli from a non-Jew, it does not require tevilah. It's not like mezuzah, where it goes by chovas hadar, the one who lives there. Right? If I rent an apartment from a guy, I have to put up mezuzahs in the place where I live, because it goes by chovas hadar. Doesn't go here by tefillas kelim. Doesn't go by chovas ha mishamish, right? The one that uses it, right? It's the one that owns it. Says the Shulchan Aruch, source 11, kuf chav sif ches. Hashoel o socher kli meyavos galilim. If I borrow or rent, eino taun tefila. Does not require tefila. Meaning, if you go to a public area that you're going to use, I don't know when it will come up. If you're going to use their kelim, let's say you have a kosher restaurant that's owned by a non-Jew. So then using their kelim, even though they're not tovelt, it would be mutter because you're borrowing their kelim. We're gonna have to talk about what if it's a kosher, a Jewish restaurant. Obviously, that's be kosher. Aval misra kanami av kachavim vishel chaver. But if a Jew bought it from a goy and then gave it to his friend, toin tefila needs tefila. Shekvar nischayev yad arishon, because it was already chiv. Just because you gave it to your friend does not remove the status. This comes in handy. About borrowing it from a guy, and it came in handy. Just a number of years ago, if you remember, during Corona at some point, there was times when all the kelim mikvahs were closed, right? For, you don't want to get anybody close to each other. And it was before that Pesach, what was it, 2 years ago, that all the kelim mikvahs, and before Pesach, you buy a lot of kelim. Right, so what do you do? So what do you do in those circumstances? So one of the ways to do it was to machne to a guy. If you knew any guy, any neighbors, so that's what some of the poskim said, because that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That's one way it came up. What happens, and this comes up sometimes too, Shabbos. Shabbos. You wanted to tovel something before Shabbos, you forgot to tovel it before Shabbos, and you want to use it on Shabbos. So you can't tovel it on Shabbos. That's tikkun. You can't walk to the kelim mikvah on Shabbos and be misak in it. But the Shulchan Aruch says, im shachach below hit pokli me'er of Shabbos, Omer Erev Yantiv, you forgot, Yitznenu la'ovei kochavim b'matana, give it to a guy. So you have help in the house, give it to the help, they own it. You shouldn't do that with chametz, because you're not supposed to have chametz sitting in your house, even if it's not owned by you. But a kli, there's no iser to have a non-tovel kli, and therefore, give it to a guy, v'acharkach, yishlenu mimenu, and then borrow it back, u'mutu l'shamish bo, and you could use it. Right, and then v'chein yaseh, says the Ramah, afilu b'chol b'makam she'ein lo mikvah. The Ramah says you can do it also during the weekday, even if in a place where there's no mikvah, at the top of the next page. The Taz says that you shouldn't do this b'kfiyas, though. Shouldn't be like, I'm too lazy to go to the mikvah, so I'm going to give all my kelim to somebody else, and I'll just use them forever. Right? That's only for you forgot. You forgot one Shabbos. Hay tikuna eino fi shah. Dayna lo'oso Shabbos o b'chol, kol zman she'en lo mikvah. Aval ha'achar Shabbos. Right? After Corona, when they opened the kelim mikvahs, I remember you had to write on it. I mean, they said to spray paint, whatever, use a marker, not tovelt, right before that Pesach. That we had to make, you had to make sure that you don't forget about it. Especially you can put it away after Pesach, and next year you're going to take it out. So it was very serious, but it was allowed to be used at that time because there was no mikvah, but it should not be done forever, right? If you're just going to keep it forever and ever, so come on, that's not borrowed. Like if you have a security, if you're planning to keep it forever, and therefore near it, so one should be careful and not use this on a regular basis. Yeah.
If I buy the kli from a Jew but know that he didn't use it at all and that he didn't tovel it,
you have a chiyuv to tovel it. It doesn't evaporate because it's a different Jew did it. There is another heter, which again doesn't really come up even on Shabbos. The Gemara says this, that if it doesn't look like you're toveling it, then it's okay. Let's say you have a bowl that you're getting water out from the mikvah. I don't know, that wouldn't come up in the olden days, but maybe when they drank from the well, but or from the river. But if there's a way to put it in, you're just washing it off, in the mikvah. So that would be okay, but that generally is not so lamaisa. Maybe we'll just end with a question, because we have that's got to not let it go overtime here. Yeah.
Well,
if you go to a kosher restaurant that is owned by a non-Jew, so that there would be no chiyuv of tefillah on those kalim.
And if it's a non-kosher restaurant,
then it's a non-kosher restaurant, then you have bigger problems. Right, you got bigger problems. Do you make a bracha on non-kosher food? That's a separate. We could have a whole shiur about what to do with non-kosher food. You know, you have to worry about the kalim. Oh, glass of water, you're saying. Glass of water in a non-kosher restaurant. But again, that's the, it's not, but it's owned by a guy.
Yeah.
A non-kosher restaurant owned by a Jew, that's also a bigger problem. But if it's a if it's owned by a guy, there's no problem with a kalim. And that would be it. So what do you do by a kosher restaurant if you think the guy didn't tovel his kalim? What do you do if you go to somebody's house and you know they didn't tovel their kalim? You know, we're going to have to talk about these issues. Does a ger have to tovel his kalim when he converts?
Take him with him to the mikvah.
So we're going to have to talk about all these, and then we'll have to get into, again, many different things to talk about. The types of utensils that require tefillah. What is that definition of a clay suda? How do you do the tefillah itself? So we'll try to squeeze it into the next year. It might be one after that too, but we will see. Okay, everybody, please. Back to the base. Debbie.